stuff. So I want to tell you a little bit about, you know, in America, American Christianity, it's a different Christianity than the rest of the world. Did you know that? We're just flat out different. We are. We somehow think Christianity, we've turned to Christianity as turning it into Americanism or something. And we use it. We use it logically. We use it intellectually. We study it. We've become theologians in it. We become great teachers of academic understanding of it. And yet, without faith, this book is absolutely meaningless. It has nothing to us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Without faith, listen to these words.
How important is faith? Most Americans think of faith as an intellectual in agreement. That's what it is. I agree. I agree that Jesus died. I agree that he arose.
That's a concept that I have. And I verbalize that concept. And yet so many Americans are...
The rest of the Word of God, what is it? Is there a kingdom? Is there a kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit? No, no, there isn't. Not without faith. Everything is by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he exists, and he is the rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. Paul would tell the Romans in Romans 14:23, everything that is not of faith is sin. Now, doesn't that concern you just a hair bit? Did you brush your teeth in faith today? Or did you brush your teeth in sin? I want you to know I brushed my teeth in faith today. I'm glad I still have some. Almost everything in my mouth is a crown. I have the most expensive mouth you can imagine today. But you know, we're living in a time where everything in our country, I mean, we're talking about health insurance all the time. I mean, that's all anyone talks about. Health and the body, and health and the body, and in our time, and how to stay stronger. And in fact, I'm with Shelley. We're in CrossFit, aren't we? Yes, we are. I'm the oldest dude in that thing. They're going to get me ready for my 70th birthday this year. So they said, we have a special surprise for you at CrossFit. We're going to do something that... going to be designed specifically for you at 70 on your 70th birthday. I said, yeah, let's make it happen. You know what I'm saying? CrossFit is like a Marine Corps obstacle course. So if you miss the Marine Corps, go to CrossFit. You'll like it. I'm telling you, it's a great deal. It's not like going to the gym. But I think about these things, and we're always thinking about the strength of the body, and we hear about every kind of program that you can go to, Kennedy, and all these different places. You can do something. Maybe you can walk, maybe you can run, maybe do something to keep your body strong. And yet when it comes to Christianity, we're struggling as people. We don't know what faith is. What is it? I mean, it's the most neglected thing, and yet without it, you have no victory at all. Without faith, you do not experience the presence of God in your life. You do not feel it. It's a strain on you. Without faith, condemnation is still all over you. Without faith, criticism is what you feel. Without faith, your sins that you did in the past are still haunting you. You have no victory there. Without faith, you don't have any joy. You can't find it. I had some person tell me that's not my gift. Well, that was obvious. I said, no, in your sinful nature, it can't be your gift. It's the gift of God by faith in Christ. So we're going to look at this. And I've been going through this chapter 4 of Romans with a band of brothers for about 2 months. And I'm almost finished with it. And I looked at it, and it really is, because faith and righteousness. I realized that righteousness, I'm reading J.C. Ryle's book on holiness right now, and righteousness and holiness are the same. And the scripture says, be holy, for without holiness no one will see the Lord. Well, without holiness, I don't think you have any joy. When you don't understand what you've been given and who you are in Christ, it's just intellectual concepts. So here's what you do with an intellectual concept. You think, I should read more. I should work harder. I want you to know faith is not a self-improvement program. Okay? It is not. It's a new creation. It is so radical, someone may think you were born again. They may come to you and say, what in the world happened to you? Your nature has been completely changed. I was up in Idaho, and I was ministering up there, and God, it's too long to go into all the details, but I got to preach a couple times up there and at the church, and the Lord came down, and I was talking with a leader, and he's saying, Gus, your joy. I mean, good grief, you were here 18 years ago as a young guy, and now you just seem like you're, whoa. And I said, well, yeah. And he said, can I ask you something? He said, yeah. He said, do you actually believe? It seems like what you say. I'm listening to you about faith and righteousness. You actually seem to believe that when you have faith, that God changes your character. I said, well, yeah. I said, what do you think some of this is? Therefore, any man or any woman in Christ Jesus is a new creation. He didn't say it was a self. I'm going to self-improve you. It's a new creation. There's no one like the Lord. There's no one like this faith. There's nothing. This gift is opened up, and I'm going to tell you what. It's a radical change in a human being. And so I want you to. We're going to walk through. In fact, verse 16 of Romans 4 says, therefore, the promise of God comes by faith. Why? So that it may be by grace. These are important issues because many of us are suffering. And many of you here today will walk out as you came. You will not bow to God's faith. The impossible, the absolute impossible. You're going to go by your logic. You're going to go by your own understanding. You're going to be able to say, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know what I was raised like. You don't know how I've been. This is me. Yes, that's you. Do you want to know something new? Do you want to know the fantastic life of a new creation? Do you want to know what it's like to love with a love you've never known in your life? Do you want to have a joy that is so long, so full that it cannot be contained? Do you want to know a life that is so eternal that it's explosive? That is the Lord. What is salvation? What is salvation anyway? Someone says, you want to be saved. Saved for what? Saved to what? Saved from what? What am I saved for? What is that kind of a word? Be saved. Do you want a new nature? Do you want to experience the presence of God? So listen to these words. In verse 18, we're in Romans 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Now he's going to describe it again. Against all hope. In other words, he's going to tell you what all this is. We're going to talk about faith's beginning. That's what it is. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Okay. Without weakening in his faith. Without what? Well, he faced the fact. This is what it means against all hope. I know the logic here. I know the logic. And the logic is I face the fact that my body is as good as dead because I'm 100 years old. And I'm facing the fact that Sarah's womb is also dead because she's about 90. I'm facing some real facts about my life and my condition. But I also know greater than what I sense is a fact. I am more assured of the promise of God than I am any fact that stands before me. Nature cannot explain the salvation of God. Nature cannot explain a new creation. Nature cannot do this. When you see a man that has an addiction, he introduces himself in that way. Hi, I'm Gus Bess. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, I'm Gus Bess. I'm a drug addict or whatever it is. Hi, I'm Gus Bess. I'm addicted to porno. No, that's the world's idea. God's idea is, hi, I'm Gus Bess. I'm a man of God. This is a radical change. So listen to what he does. He faced the fact that Sarah's womb was dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. What was the promise? But he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had the power to do what he had promised. See, faith takes people and changes their nature. You take a critical man, he's no longer critical. In fact, I was sitting there thinking, and this is what happened in this particular leader I was working with. up in Idaho. I was talking with him one day, and he says, you actually think people are changed? I said, well, how about this? Today, could we just suppose maybe God's word is true? Okay? This morning, can we do that? Let's say today, just on this day, we don't have tomorrow, but this day, let's suppose God's word is true. Listen to these words. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Do you not know this? What do you mean, inherit the kingdom of God? They will never know righteousness. They will never experience peace. And they will never know joy in my spirit. Never. Do you not know this? This is what they're lacking. This is what they would wish for, but they will not. It only comes by faith in me, faith in my word. Now watch what he says. And then he goes on. Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, people that steal, nor greedy people, or drunkards, or people that slander with their mouth, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Well, think of that. Don't be deceived about it. And then he says this, and that is what some of you were. I always tell everybody, I filled in a lot of those things. I became very successful as a sinner. I was born a sinner, and then I practiced it. There's a few of these on that page that I'm very glad I didn't participate in. But the rest, I was there. Such were some of you. See, faith is such a beautiful thing. And when you look at our text, against hope, Abraham in hope believed. Without wavering, he was not weakened in his faith. How does he do this? Faith is always giving glory to God. It doesn't act upon that which it has or what it thinks it has. That's the beauty of how my life has been, my whole journey. See, the beauty of God's word is it shows us, just everyday men and women of God. And how do they live it? They live it by the promise of God. What is the promise of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in my spirit. For he who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God. Do you want to serve the Lord? Do you want to know what we should be doing? Who are we? Serve him in righteousness. You can't get tired in righteousness. You can't get fatigued in righteousness. You don't get tired. You can't go and say, I've had so much peace, I'm exhausted. It doesn't work. You cannot say, I have so much joy, I'm just withered. No. And if you say that joy and righteousness and peace aren't who you are, that's true. That is your sinful nature. But I tell you, it is the nature of God. It is the nature for every man, woman, and boy and girl. The simplest man, the youngest child can believe God. The simplest child can take faith and say, I believe God. I take him at his word. And so you look at the beginning. He says, I want to give you this. I'm going to give you three steps. I wasn't going to normally do this, but I'm going to do it because it's a church. I do it differently with a band of brothers. In fact, I have a man here today saying he wanted to see what I was going to do if I do it different with men than I do it with men and women. And I said, of course I do it different. I'm more gentle. Faith's beginning in verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. It's the beginning. He believed God. Can you imagine? He's 100 years old. He could have said, you know, when we were married, when we were young people, we tried to have children, Sarah and I. We did. It just didn't happen. In our middle age, we tried again, and it just didn't happen. And as we got older, and eventually Sarah just, there was no way she was going to have children. I mean, menopause came along, and we didn't even know what to call it back then. You guys in the thousands of years in front told us it was menopause, so we call it that. And in fact, during those days, she got a little hot. You know, I didn't understand it in those days. And now the time's gone by. We've had 30, 40 years now of just us being old. You know, we're not in the middle of old age. We're just old. And we now know by sight and what we feel that these things can't happen except for this. God. There's no one like the Lord. If the Lord says, I have redeemed you from your sins, in Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you from your sins in Jesus Christ. If the Lord says, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in my Son, he means there is no condemnation to those who are in my Son. When the Lord says, there is nothing that will ever separate you and me again, my love will never be removed from you again, it means my love will never be removed from you again. When the Lord says, from now and evermore, you are blameless in my sight, now and forever you are blameless in my sight, it means now and forever I am blameless in his sight. When he says, my kindness leads you to repentance, it means his kindness leads me to repentance. It doesn't mean I'm out of guilt and shame. I have none. I don't have any. I have none to give to you, and I don't have any to have for my own. It's an awakening. It brings a joy to your soul. Faith is real. He, look at this, subjectively, against hope, hope was a feeling like, I don't have it anymore. It's not my nature. Things have passed. What I know about mankind, what I can see, what I feel, this subjective feeling, there's no way that this thing can happen to me. But there's an objective hope. And this, my motive of hoping is what? Faith believes God because he is God. All of a sudden, there is a righteousness that I never knew I could have. I was awakened to the feelings of my wife. All of a sudden, I'm awakened to an awareness of such a joy. All of a sudden, I forget to be angry. I forget to be irritated. I should have felt criticized at that moment, but I forgot. That is the faith, what faith gives to a man or a woman. And most of us, we just won't. It's like we won't go there. We come up to the door and stop. I need an awakening, Lord, a new awakening in my faith. We sing these wonderful songs about it. Without finding in the domain a sense of reasoning, faith isn't about the reasoning of what I find and what I'm thinking or how I feel. Faith is, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So what do? I praise the Lord. Faith is, be joyful always. Well, how long am I supposed to do this? Try always. What in the world do you want from me, God? Well, Gus, how about being joyful? I have a real goal for you. I have prepared your soul for absolute joy now and forever, and it will never leave you. I have prepared your soul for a peace that is in a harmony with me that cannot be contained. And I have given you a righteousness. Now go. What do you want me to do? Just go and live. Live. I've taken you out of darkness and I've made you light. You were dark, I made you light. You were dead, I've made you life. Go live. And as you live, they'll be attracted to you. You don't have to preach. You're not called to preach. You're called to me, Gus. That's why it's earnestly seek him. That's what faith is. See, this is... Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Sure. Certain of what we do not see. I'm sure of God. I know this to be true. I know what it is. I know when I pray for someone, it's real. Abraham believed God at a time when it was no longer humanly possible for him to go on hoping. I'm too old. And I tell the band of brothers, think of this, when they had the baby. Think when Isaac was born. Now, come on. She's 91 and he's 101. And Isaac wants to be fed at 12:30 at night. Can you even imagine? I wonder sometimes, have we really been blessed at this age? I think raising children was nice for the young. No wonder Isaac was a little strange. I mean, I look at him now. You look at his life, man, oh, Lord. I mean, when you say, this is my dad. Well, how old was your dad when you were born? Oh, my dad's about 101. Did he play with you a lot? No. See, faith is contrary to your and my experiences. It's contrary to everything that ever happened to us. Everything that I was born with, every DNA molecule in my body, it's contrary to what I am by nature. By nature, I'm a sinner born in sin. By nature, I doubt. By nature, I get angry. By nature, I criticize. By nature, I would lust. When I was a young man, it was there. No one taught it to me at all. No one. I remember going home and talking to my mom about it. One thing I had with my mom, I was always transparent with my mom. I would tell her, man, Mom, you know, I saw this girl in high school today, and da-da-da-da-da, and this happened to me, and blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I remember she, her face just went, oh, like this. I was 15 years old, and she sat me down and tried to say something, which I never understood. Oh, men and women of God, faith. How does it mature? First, okay, Abraham is seen between two opposites. So are you, by the way. You're living between two opposites. You're struggling right now. Some of you are struggling in your marriages. You're struggling with yourself. That of sight, which always turns to the external circumstance of how do I feel. Yeah, but you don't know how I feel. I just had a counseling deal a couple weeks ago like that with a gal. But you just don't know how I feel. You don't know how I feel. I know how you feel. You feel like sin. I know how you feel. You feel like sin. That's why you're so angry. That's why you're so doubting. That's why all your joys left your face. Sin is killing you. See, second, faith, which holds firmly to God. It holds firmly to His promise. What do I know of God? We live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. What do you mean? Without faith, it's impossible. I live by faith. So what am I doing? I'm walking through my journey, and I'm experiencing the presence of God every moment of every day. And when you experience God's presence, I promise you will have a joy that someone's going to notice. You can't hold it back. Raymond and I, we're buddies, aren't we, Raymond? And that man is becoming more joyful. That man has been released. Also, he's a former Marine. That's why I like him a lot. I like him a lot. Okay? But he's experiencing something brand new. Abraham's faith, fixed on the promise of God, prevented him from staggering or wavering or doubting or struggling. It didn't matter about how old my body is. It doesn't matter how old Sarah is. What matters is God. What matters is that He's the living God. I'm the eternal one. I created the heavens and the earth by myself, and I have a wonderful plan for you. I so love you. I have never stopped loving you, and I have come for you. I have come to lighten your load. I've come to take you out of to a place you can't even fathom in your wildest imagination. You would never know what I'm about to do with you. This is the beauty of what faith is. Five things that he noted about his faith. He was not weak in his faith. His values were founded in God. He didn't moan and groan over himself. You look at his whole journey. Didn't matter if he was dealing with Lot. I don't care what it was. It was just he believed God. His strength did not come from his feelings. His joy did not come from his feelings. His peace did not come from how he feels. It did not come from his circumstances. His righteousness did not come that way. It came from God and God alone. There is no one like the Lord. His strength, which was his faith, originated in God. Period. There's no one like him. I would call you to him to be reawakened in the beauty of holiness. Excuse me. He was not troubled with inner doubts. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He did that. He knew the facts. Sarah's womb was as good as dead. In other words, he saw the weakness. He recognized the difficulties. He knew that, but what he was looking at was the promise of God. Faith is real. Come to know the Lord. Come to know Him. Come. Would you like to experience something so radical that it looks like you've been born again? He looked at the promise of God, as the Scriptures say, for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder is God, out of Hebrews 10 and 11, or 11:10. How many make the complaint that they cannot see God today? How many are saying they cannot find Him? They're always struggling. Well, then stop. Stop struggling. Stop trying to improve yourself. Stop trying to correct yourself. Stop and surrender. Come to God by faith and faith alone. You have nothing to offer. You have only to receive. He has a gift for you. It's called faith. And the gift is so you can receive His grace. It's a gift. So you can open it into your life and begin something so new, so renewing, that is uncontainable. This is the beauty of what it is. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. Waver means to be at variance with yourself. I know the truth, but that's not me. Man, I've heard that. I've been almost 42 years in the ministry. If anybody that shouldn't have gone to the ministry, I mean, people used to say, you should have never been allowed to go in the ministry. I would always go, amen. Please, God, hear them. And they sent me in anyway. And how many times are we going to say, it's not me? Of course it's not you. Do you think by nature you're joyful? No. If you knew the joy of the Lord, it's not the joy of the world. It's not out of circumstances. The joy of the Lord is radically, radically different. Unbelief implies doubt. I'm always struggling. Why do you struggle? Because I'm doubt. It's like James says, a man who doubts is like someone who's on the, like the waves, just moved to and fro. Stop. Take faith and take God. If God who cannot lie, if this is His truth, what do you know? And say it out loud what you know. Do you believe God for your salvation? Then say, I believe Him for my salvation. If you believe I've been made righteous, who made you righteous? God declared I was righteous. I am righteous. God declared I'm a man of God. I am no longer some low life and sinner. How many times are we going to keep doing that? I'm just some scumbag on the face of the earth trying to get along with grace. No, I'm not. That's what I was. I don't introduce myself as a low life and sinner just struggling along through life. I'm Gus Bess, a man of God. I'm Gus Bess. I'm a righteous man. Who made you righteous? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a radically changed human being. I don't want to ever go back. I was dead and now I'm alive. You know, to doubt dishonors God. I'm not going to do that. Abraham was not in strife with himself. Some of us right here in the American Christianity are so much in strife with ourselves. We can't even keep a marriage together. We don't even like each other. We come up and people can sing a beautiful song up here and someone will be griping about it. How is that even possible? If you have no condemnation, how can you be griping? You can't. You can't find it. You keep thinking, I should have it again. I got to go look for it. I can't find it. See, what was important was not the difficulties, but what mattered was God's promise. So he gave glory to God. That's what faith always does. It gives glory to God. What does it mean to give glory to God? It lives according to what God has said. What do I know is absolute truth, no matter where I find myself? Paul and Silas find themselves in a jail. They've been mistreated. They've been falsely accused. They've been beaten. They've been shackled. Everything has been a lie. Every single thing that happened to them was a lie. And the people in the crowds were yelling at them, calling them all kinds of names, and everything they called them was a lie. Yet they're the ones thrown in the jail. And in the midst of that, what do? They still cannot contain the joy. You don't think they hurt? You don't think their backs hurt? You don't think they could have said, I don't know how we got here, but God knows we're here, so let's sing to Him. That's where the song came from. God knows I'm here, so I'm going to praise Him. Do you know why you're here? No. I don't know why I'm in Paso Robles, but I sing to Him anyway. I like wine. God sent me here. I'm looking, what am I doing? You sing to the Lord. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise with the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, you are there. Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Abraham considered who God was and is, and he gave glory to God. See, faith is not hard, but it seems hard to so many in America. Because we judge our faith by an academic understanding. Churches are horrible at this. We teach accurately, but don't live it. The first thing a church wants to do when they're looking for a pastor, where did you go to seminary? What is your academic credentials? They don't look to see the power of God in the man's life. They look for an academic. And many people who teach the Word of God don't live what they teach. Because in America, it's all about being the academic. I know it. I've memorized it. I understand it. It's like a parrot. You know, when my neighbors, we had a minor bird. Okay? When I grew up, we had a minor bird. His name was Jake. And Jake, that dude could talk. He could talk. We'd go in, and the fun thing about Jake is you go in and talk to him, and he just starts responding. And sometimes the response is so opposite of what you just said, that's what makes you laugh. Then we found out he spoke Japanese. And he spoke pure Japanese. We thought, how did he learn Japanese? Well, we had a Japanese laundryman. Okay? And the Japanese laundryman used to come and talk to Jake. So that's how Jake picked up Japanese. We never knew what he said until years later when a Japanese man was at our house. And all of a sudden, Jake began to speak in Japanese. And the man went, huh? Do you know what Jake is saying? No, he's speaking Japanese. I don't think Jake knows what he's saying. Well, he's used every swear word that Japanese can possibly say. All right? That's American Christianity. We're living with an academic yes with no life. Faith instantly brings life, instantly brings a new nature, instantly brings righteousness, peace, and joy. So God says, do you want it? Will you trust me? I have a gift for you. I have an awakening gift. When faith is accomplished, listen to these words. It's so beautiful. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what God had promised, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. This is why? Why? I believe God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin so that I'd become the righteousness of God, and that is exactly what has happened. Now watch this, what he says. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words that was credited to him were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death. That's the beginning of our salvation for our sins. He was raised for our justification to declare us righteous. Amen? Aren't you? Are you righteous? Do you know you're righteous? If you know you're righteous, you can hardly stay seated in your chair. It's really hard when you get a guy like me up here. And I think, man, don't you feel like dancing or something? Jumping up and down? You should all be Pentecostal at the moment. Listen to this. When faith is genuine, and I know some of you are going to say you believe, but you will not. You're not going to enter into righteousness. You won't enter into peace, that harmony with God, and you will not let his joy be in your life. It is founded, this faith is founded in a correct view of God's character and an absolute trust in everything that he said, that he is the one that gave this to me. Faith justifies by appropriating to ourselves the very word of God. I believe God said that if I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. I confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I was saved. I believed in my heart, and I was made declared righteous. Yo, Laboli, a guy like me. Guy should have gone to hell in a handbasket. And yet he declared me righteous. Faith is to believe God simply because he is God. Faith is that which glorifies God always 24/7 because that's what it is. It doesn't try to do it. That's what it is. It can't help itself. There is no argument with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus and the Father. There's no tension at all. Faith is the act of the soul which looks wholly away from ourself and our emotions. I can't judge how this day is going to be by the way I wake up in the morning. I wake up in the morning singing to the Lord, and I trust him to guide my steps. When I wake up exhausted, like I did when the 2 weeks in a row at Band of Brothers, I could hardly get there. I couldn't even think. I mean, everything was backwards. I normally get there early. I'm there late. I don't know what I'm doing, and then I get up there, and God just blows my hair back. See, that's faith. Faith is the act of the soul which looks wholly away from ourself and honors the Lord. Faith stands on the word of God. So here, the weakest of mankind, the weakest, the smallest, can believe what God has said. Will you believe him? Will you take him at his word? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. Will you take him at his word? Will you? Have you begun to look towards Jesus rather than yourself? Will you come to Christ and instead of trying to do a self-improvement program, will you just come to God? Are you still staggering over the difficulties of your own life and the way your past was or how you were raised or how you were abused or whatever else you went through? Are you ready to look to God and his word alone? This is the joy. This is why we have communion. This is what we're remembering. Will you take the promise of God? Are you ready to be strong in faith? You ready to go shake the earth one more time for the glory of God and the souls of men? This is your faith. Mike, come on up over here. I wanted to originally give an invitation, but I saw the communion. I thought, oops, that won't do that. I want to invite you today.